the McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Combs is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another episode of the Viking Round Ball Podcast, the podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I normally at this point in time say alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, but he has the week off as we brought in two very qualified pieces of talent, none other than the true brains of the Viking staff, the guys who never get any glory whatsoever but do all the work, make all the big decisions, are truly respected by the players, none other than the assistant coaches of the Vikings, lead assistant coach NJ Kite and junior varsity coach and all-around good guy, Chad Carpenter. Gentlemen, how are we?
Great. Wonderful.
Good.
Thanks for having us.
That's always, we usually get you guys in here every 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And given that someone in their self-glory, egotistical, arrogant state that achieved their 300th victory needed time to himself this week.
He's still out celebrating, I believe.
I think there's a parade in the cul-de-sac today.
Yeah, out on Eagle Court.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's inflatables for the children, free hot dogs, popcorn, everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations to our buddy Matt Combs. It is, we don't want to be completely, disingenuous about it, but that's a lot of wins.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had a lot of great assistant coaches over the years. I mean, not just you guys, Coach Miller, Coach Royster. We would be remiss if we didn't mention Coach Eldridge, who really kind of got him his start.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are in here. Get to talk about the JV team. Get your guys' perspective on the season thus far. I know every year's a kind of a different group of kids, different dynamic. NJ, this is, what year is this for you? Five, six, seven?
I believe this is seven.
Seven as Matt's assistant. Gosh, and you were just saying earlier.
Six for me.
6-2 as the freshman coach. You're in your fourth year as the JV coach.
Correct.
Wow. And prior to that, how many years were you the head coach of the girls program?
I was only the head coach 1 year. I was an assistant for 2 years before that.
Okay. And we had talked, so obviously you've, and you came to work for Vinton County School District what year?
2004, 2005.
And what year did you get hired?
I came in the fall of 2005.
Okay, so both been here quite a while. We'll kind of get into your perspectives of the JV team as well as just the overall personality of the varsity team and the season that they're having. Do you have some games I want to run through real quick in the past week? We are recording this Monday afternoon, February the 5th, if you care, as the Vikings in the past week extend their season record to 12-5 overall, 8-2 in the TVC, had a nice non-league win over New Hope Christian Academy this past Tuesday, January the 30th. Final score, 78-62. Coach Kai, just interested your thoughts. Obviously, we had their athletic director on, and I know that Matt had spent quite a bit of time scouting New Hope, and I was kind of like, really? They're not even... And they were a pretty impressive team. Only had one kid that really had any size, but they were a disciplined team, could shoot the three ball. But a game that you guys really jumped out to a pretty, strong 43-24 halftime lead. Just your thoughts on the game and what you thought of New Hope.
I was really impressed with them. I thought they were really well coached. I thought they were really well disciplined. They had four, five, six guys that could really shoot the ball. We were very fortunate to get off to a good start there, because I think if you don't against a team like that, if you let them get rolling a little bit, you can fall behind and be in real trouble.
Yeah, and it was a kind of a night that Nalen really, you know, had a good night shooting as he puts up 34 points for Vinton County. Jake Spiegelman with 23, Nevin Yates with 11, Cameron Hammond and Eli both with 4 apiece, and Bryce Dameron with 2 points. Obviously, good. Eli's not, you know, back in the starting lineup per se, but I've noticed it seems like in the past 3 games he seems to be getting more and more minutes. Is that a conscious effort on your and Matt's part of kind of working him back into the flow, or what's, how's that dynamic working?
Yeah, we've wanted to take it slow with him until we felt like he was, you know, back to full speed. And I think if he's not there, he's really, really close.
Right. As far as, you know, the second half, you guys obviously were able to work in a lot of kids, a lot of combinations, as you guys go on to the final score of 78-62. As far as team stats for that game, you guys are 53% from the field for the game. As far as beyond the arc, you shoot 28%. You were 4 of 14. Points off turnovers, you had 10. Points in the paint, 48. You out-rebounded them 43-24. Pretty big difference there. Although you guys did turn the ball over 17 times to their 8 times. So a good win for you guys last Tuesday, January the 30th. And then the game that was on everybody's mind, I don't just think last week, but I think probably for the past year, because last year in the regular season, the Alexander Spartans took care of business over in the alley, and that was your first loss of the year, was it not? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a pretty emotional win, a pretty emotional crowd over there that night. So I know that had to loom large, not just with you guys, but the kids. But going into that game, before we get to the game, how I know that, you know, Combs being Combs, he's going to, you know, we take it one game at a time and all this stuff. But going into last week, do you notice anything from the kids when you go into a game that you know they're getting jacked up for, they're looking forward? Could you tell that dynamic was going on?
I didn't see it before the New Hope game.
Really?
But I think once the New Hope game ended, it was pretty much not really even the 24-hour rule of enjoying a win. It was, all right, we know what's coming Friday, and
okay,
everybody was dialed in. They were ready to go.
Obviously, you know, I'm just a casual fan, and I was like, oh, I will not forget walking out of Alexander last year. And, you know, give them credit. They played a good game that night. But it was a game, you know, a huge crowd over there. I think, was there any seat to be had at, for that matter, before the JV game started? Pretty much that place was full, was it not?
Yeah, I texted the guys that was bringing my daughter over at 5:05 and told them that our side was about 75% full. So by the time they got there, started the JV game, they didn't have a seat. So,
well, it was quite a night. As far as the game goes, you guys pull off a 56-53 win in overtime. And it was kind of one of those games, you know, for the first, I like to say, two and a half quarters, everything pretty much went your way. And I think the Vinton County played very good, I think offensively, a little bit more patient as far as, you know, getting good shots off, things like that. You outscore Alexander 21-16 in the first quarter, and then also outscore them 14-11 in the second quarter as you go into the half with a 35-27 you know, lead, and it looked like everything was going great. Came out there in the third quarter, and I think, you know, he continued to hold that up, and then Jake Spiegelman got, what, his third or fourth foul?
He got his third in the third.
In the third quarter. It seems like that's when their run, you guys, they kind of went on, I think, like an 11-0 run between the end of the third quarter, and then J.K. Kearns came out and hit that another three, making it was like 45-42, took their first lead.
Right.
And that's kind of when I thought, you know, okay, game on. Yeah, and you did you guys talk at halftime, or I don't know if it even needed to be said, on their home court, you had to know that they're going to make a run at some point in time. Was that discussed?
Oh, sure. We, you know, we talked about, you know, really when you're in that situation at halftime, you're up 8, you just want to win the third quarter. Because you win the third quarter, you probably, you know, got somewhere around a 10-point lead going into the fourth, and that really puts the pressure on the other team.
What kind of puts them in a situation where they have to start doing things – differently, meaning they got to start, how many fouls do they have to give, you know, that, sure, that sort of thing. So it kind of had to be that, you know, coming out of that third quarter, and granted, at the end of the third quarter, that's when the chipping away, or probably like 2 minutes left to go in the third,
right,
I think is when they kind of got their run together. But just your thoughts on the game, NJ, as far as the flow of the game and how you guys battled through that adversity in the fourth quarter, where you knew that, you know, Kearns was getting hot, they were going, had you guys in a run. What was being said during timeouts, things like that?
You know, we were just talking about executing and doing things the right way. You know, we've talked before to the kids, and we talked about this yesterday or Saturday at practice, that you know, you're going to have to win as the year goes on and you get into the tournament. You're going to have to win games different ways. And, you know, the first half, I think, was more of our style of basketball. You know, it was higher scoring. You know, we were on a, you know, if you want to use on pace, we were on pace to score 70 points for the game, which, you know, is obviously always great to do in a game, because that, you're probably going to win if that happens. Then, you know, at the end of the third, it was 42-42. So from there on out, it was what, 14-11,
mm-hmm,
in the fourth quarter and overtime. So it changed to their style, but we were still able to win that game. And that's something that, you know, Combs talked about after the game. This team's come a long way. We wouldn't have won that game early in the year.
No, I mean, when you, especially you and you go back and look at, well, Bloom Carroll, Nelsonville, that first, in varying reasons, but take the 0-3 start to start the season, there were a lot of breakdowns and just silliness, stupid fouls, stupid shots, things that I don't want to, times where you guys weren't as composed as you probably should have been.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you lose guys from the previous year, and, you know, guys are still settling into their new roles. You know,
right.
Everybody's got a bigger role this year than they had last year. So,
and it takes time.
Even, it does.
And you can preach that probably in the preseason of, okay, here's your role, this is what we expect out of you. But it's not like they're going to grasp that and handle it right then. It takes,
right, time. Oh, it takes time. And then, you know, add in the fact that, you know, Nevin and Nalen were both injured to start the season. So not only are you in a different role than you were last year, but you're in a different role than you're going to have to play most likely for the rest of the season for, right, a lot of these guys.
And to that point, and it's like we were talking before we really started recording, you know, getting Eli back is a big thing, but, you know, he's the dynamic and the things that have changed. You know, Cameron Hammond's probably getting more minutes now than what I would have thought he would have gotten at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
A lot of that because of Eli's injury against Alexander, that was back on December the 22nd. That's a good thing. But getting kids accustomed to playing in certain roles and certain situations, and then you bring in the likes of, you know, your Bailey Bartos, your Noah Waddells, you know, your Sean McCarty's, guys that come in and kind of have specific roles, and getting them integrated in what's going on and with some success and efficiency, that, you know, it's not that this team has a lack of talent. It's just it's a whole different dynamic than last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so, you know, a big win for you guys. Obviously, the loss at home to Athens, as far as the quest for the TVC title, so to speak, you know, that really kind of put you guys behind the eight ball to the fact that now you had to, you got to hold serve the rest of the year. That was a big win for you guys in the TVC Ohio. As far as scoring for the Vikings in that game, Nalen Yates has 18, Jake Speakman has 15, Nevin has 6, Cameron Hammond has 8, Bryce Dameron with 4, Eli Griffith with 2, Sean or Noah Waddell with 3. See, it looks as though Caleb Terry led the Spartans with 14, and Kearns had 13 for Alexander. From as far as stats, you guys shoot 42% from the, or, I'm sorry, 41% from the field, 30% from beyond the arc. You guys were 11 of 21 for 53% from the charity stripe, and they only got to the line 7 times, converted 5 for 72%. As far as rebounds, you guys definitely take care of Alexander on the boards, out-rebounding them 43-27, and Cameron Hammond has 8 rebounds for the Vikings. So, big win. Normally we take a break, but you guys being as professional,
we don't need a break.
We're good.
Well, see, this is the nice thing about having guests like you in here. Coach, His Highness,
Can we refer to him as Mr. 300 for the remainder of this
episode? I'd say for us, it's Coach 300.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
Coach 300.
Sure.
I'll do it if you guys promise to do it.
Absolutely.
I promise that I won't stop doing it.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
Think we get the kids to buy into this?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I just know you have a love-hate relationship with the kids.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say
that. Do
they
still throw balls at you in practice?
No. Once Tristan left, that stopped.
That was a Tristan Barton.
Yeah, that was Tristan Barton.
That was really nice because it was always done in such a nonchalant, never knew it when it was coming.
No. I pretty much just always expected it was coming from Tristan. I've done enough to him over the years, though. It's deserved.
Okay. Well, So Coach 300. Normally, when I have Coach 300 in here, he normally, you know, his phone's always blowing off because, you know, he's got all these texts coming in and phone calls, and he's an important guy.
He is.
He's AD. And then normally, you know, he's got to go to the bathroom. I have to have his, you know, mineral water ready for him, things like that.
Right. He needs a snack.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Snack, four-course meal, whatever.
His wins have finally surpassed his weight now, so that's a big milestone.
I don't really get to hang out with you guys much during the season, but I often forget how brutally hard you are on him. And it's refreshing. Honest and refreshing.
We promise to always be honest with each other.
I don't think he'd want it any other way.
I don't think he has a choice.
Well, no, he doesn't.
No, so you know, let's talk a little bit about the JV team, Carp. Yeah. You got a big, 14 kids on your roster now?
15 now.
15.
Yeah.
Nice round number. A first, a second, and a third team all in practice.
Yeah, so. We just have different line shifts like hockey.
It's kind of hot. Talk about what's your record so far this year, and talk about some of your kids. You know, what I know it's always – I don't even think that records really make – you know, don't make or break a JV team. Obviously, you want to win, but you're trying to develop kids for the next level. So talk about this year's JV team.
Right now, our record is 11-5, I believe. We've got a lot of talent on this team. I feel it's a good team. It's going to, you know, really benefit the program long-term, these kids. We got five kids that dress varsity. That would be Gavin Arbaugh, Will Arthur, Ricky Bodie, Lance Montgomery, and
Trafford Dunn.
Yeah. Okay, so you know all five of those. We've got those sophomores.
Of those
and juniors.
Five, how many are juniors? Well,
Ricky and Trafford are juniors. Gavin and Will are sophomores, and Lance is a freshman. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know they've started the majority of the games, but you know that's a good group. You know, I think Coleman's got a lot to work with those guys moving up next year.
That's always a big conversation every year. It seems like, oh, they're going to lose so many players. This is the end of it. And somehow, you know, the program keeps chugging along.
Yeah.
A lot goes into that behind the scenes that people have no clue about. But what's, you know, you guys still practice. What percentage of the time will you guys actually combine varsity JV practices, if ever?
Now it's a little bit more this year.
For what reason?
You know, I think... You know, maybe the JV and the varsity is a little closer. You know, some years you just, you know, neither team gets anything out of it.
Uh-huh.
This year, I think, you know, we can compete. You know, we're not going to be better than them, you know, 9 times out of 10. But, you know, we can go in and compete and give them some looks that they need to see, you know, with their upcoming opponent, whether it be, you know, playing a certain kind of defense or running a set, you know, that the other team's going to run. So we do some stuff. We overlap practice. Sometimes we stay at separate ends, but we do a couple segments usually every day.
Is it still as it used to be that I'm going to – is your base offense and the varsity's base offense always the same? I mean, I know you do a lot of things in conjunction. Everything's the same, but what percentage of sets – I mean, is it all universally the same between both teams, or is there differences?
Yeah, I mean, we try to run – pretty much the same sets. Like our base offense would just be our dribble drive motion, which, you know, the JV team, we don't have, you know, very many post players.
Right.
So it benefits us to run that, you know, but at the same time, you know, we're going to graduate, you know, two of our post players this year on the varsity. So next year, you know, the guys that are playing JV right now are probably going to be running, you know, the same offense on varsity next year as we ran this year.
Yeah, and to that point, I don't want to make this a scouting report for opposing coaches, but with having a lot more length and size this year, NJ, on the varsity side, I know you guys still use the dribble drive motion offense in certain cases, depending on the personnel. But what other offenses are you kind of, I mean, with just a basic high-low post, screen-ups, you know, that sort of thing? Or
We did a lot more of that earlier in the season, but we felt like it, you know, stagnated us a little bit. So we've gone pretty much just to dribble. If we aren't running a set, then we've just gone to dribble drive.
Okay. As far as, you know, what was it your record is right now?
11-5, I believe. I know we've lost five, so we have one less win than the varsity. So if the varsity's 12-5, that makes us 11-5.
Well, that's
good math.
That is. That's great math.
You should work for the accounting department.
I'll look into that.
Okay.
I doubt that he could be a teacher. You wouldn't want to be?
Wouldn't want to be.
I tell you what, after doing the stats, management fired the statistician earlier this year, who happens to be the head coach, because he didn't have time to do it. I couldn't be a coach after having to do stats. Impossible. I have a newfound respect for what you guys do all the time. It's pretty amazing. Anyhow, do appreciate you staying on staff, helping Coach 300.
Yes.
Yeah. He's quite a guy. You know, and NJ, I know with his 300th win, with as many years as you've been underneath him, that hurts.
In the shadow.
That would definitely hurt.
I'm sorry.
In that ginormous shadow.
Yeah. It's, what was the Jolly Green Giant, and what was the little peewee guy?
Sprout.
Sprout.
That was Sprout.
Yeah. I'm not going to start calling you Coach Sprout.
I appreciate that.
Okay. You know, what have you seen changes in Matt's coaching style, how things work, his attitude, things of that nature since you came aboard? And obviously, you guys were close friends prior to you even joining his staff.
Right.
What's kind of changed, in your opinion, over the past 6-7 years?
You know, he's still got the same intensity that he had. I mean, that hasn't changed. His love for, you know, teaching the game, things like that, that hasn't changed. I think he's just more... He's more calm, I guess, would be the best word to use. He's not as, I think it's just like, I don't even know how to describe it. He's not as
high strung.
Yeah, his approach has changed a little bit as far as he's more, you know, bad moments are more teaching moments now than they are, you know, making kids wear sweaty uniforms or sweaty game uniforms from the night before during a practice or practicing for 2.5 hours. I think it's more, hey, what can we do to fix this other than I'm mad at you guys? I'm going to punish you.
Right. Not as many things get broke around the locker room that used to.
No.
No, I you know, and people have asked me, I think that, you know, obviously with what Matt and his family had to deal with his illness a couple of years ago, I think that's obviously changed him quite a bit in all seriousness. And he's still a dear friend to me, and I would run through a wall for the guy, and I think you guys would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think that one thing about Combs, no matter what, you know, he's kind of guy that whether you're playing basketball or golf or checkers or blackjack, whatever the game is, he just has an inherently very passionate sense of competition, and not in a crooked way.
No.
But I guess as a golfer, I can. There are times when I can play golf and I'm going to be real serious. If it's a money game and I want to beat you. But if it's just a casual game of golf and we're just out there scrambling or having fun, I can take it for what it is. I don't think Matt can.
No, and I mean, I think that's sort of a staff-wide, you know, trait. I think that's why we work so well together and why we can, you know, why we can argue about something and we brush that away because everybody knows that the goal is to win.
Yeah, and trust me, for you know, people listening, whatever, you know, role, graduate, I think any ex-player would tell you, yeah, is there a lot of, I don't want to use the word fighting because it's not fighting.
No, disagreements.
It's brotherly arguments.
Sure.
And sometimes they get pretty nasty,
sure,
for lack of a better word.
Sure.
I think sometimes you and Matt argue in an unrelated basketball situations. You guys just argue for the sake of arguing.
Oh yeah, there's times where I'll just see what side he's going on something, and I'll just take the other one just to.
Well, and I
just
think he'll do the same thing with you.
Sure,
maybe not as much, but if he knows it's going to get under your skin,
oh, absolutely,
it'll definitely come. But in all sincerity, 300 wins says a lot, and I was kind of going back through the Bible, the 50-year, you know, the book. And you go back and you look at some of those records, you know, like 2000, 2001, 2002, obviously before you guys got around. I mean, we had a program that really did not have much success at all, and he's really transformed that. So congratulations to Coach 300, the honorable king of basketball in Vinton County, Matt Combs.
He is.
That is.
It is well deserved in all seriousness.
It is well deserved.
No, it is. It is. And I think he'd be the first one. He's very humble about it. He didn't. I talked to him on the phone Saturday, and you know, I was kind of giving him the business about it, and he was not. He wasn't biting.
No, you know, in all honesty, when the game ended, we went in the locker room. Everybody's, you know, pretty excited. You know,
huge win. Yeah,
and. Coach Yates looked at me and Nolan Yates and said, hey, this was his 300th win, wasn't it? And I said, yeah. And I yelled in the locker room, hey, guys, congratulate your coach. He just won his 300th game.
And you know, did they know going into it was, or probably didn't?
I don't think they did.
I'm sure it was never talked about in practice.
No. So, you know, the kids are congratulating him. And you know, the first thing Combs said is that all that means is I've had a lot of great players over the years. So
he has.
I mean, a lot of people say it. He legit means it when he says that stuff does not matter to him one bit.
No,
he does not care about that at all.
Well, and the funny thing was, when I called him, I normally feel, because I just know that weekends, we were normally talking about getting game tape uploaded, doing this, doing that, what are we going to do, the podcast. And I know it's weekends, and he's got the, you know, he's with the boys, or him and Amy, trying to do family. So I try not to take much of his time, and he was pretty chatty, you know, for a weekend. And I'm like, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm at the library. Of course, I just immediately started laughing. I'm like, why are you at the library? And he's like, well, the boys like to go to the library. So we came over to Ross County, you know, the Chillicothe. I'm like, okay, your boys are smart. I get it. Then it made sense. But while his kids were reading, I said, well, what are you doing in the library? He said, I'm breaking down film. I'm like, really? Yeah, he's like, I know he's been looking at a lot of Chillicothe film, and this will kind of segue into our next, you know, what we're going to talk about. But it's the things like that that people have no clue. I mean, obviously the guy knows he's basketball and he's competitive. Yeah, those two things are pretty apparent to people that are fans or watch a successful coach. What they don't know is the amount of time at 1 o'clock in the morning, not just him, but you guys for that matter, are watching game tape. And it's 5 degrees above zero at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and you have a bye night, and you and Combs might be driving to Miami Trace I don't think most people realize it's not just an hour and a half practice after school and games on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and sometimes Saturdays. So he does put in his time there, and we're very lucky to have him. So yes. On the segue of Chillicothe, big game coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday, February the 6th, as the Cavaliers come to Vinton County. It's been ages since they played. In my memory, I don't even know if they've ever played over here.
I mean, obviously we played over there last year. I can remember those two teams playing. It was before I started coaching. I think those two teams played in the Zane Trace
Tip-Off Classic
yeah, one year.
That was when Miller was the assistant. That would have been like 06, 07, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I know they come in with I think they got a 13-6 record. One change is Chillicothe is no longer a D2 school. They are D1 now.
Right, yes.
They're now playing in the Frontier Athletic League, which is kind of the South Central Ohio League a little. I mean, it's what, let's see, it would be Jackson, Chillicothe.
And four SCOL teams. McLean,
Hillsborough,
Miami Trace, and Courthouse.
Okay, who's still in the South Central Ohio League?
Or does that even exist anymore? So because all that left were the Massey or the Clinton County
Wilmington
schools.
And Clinton counties.
Okay, so they're in that conference. That conference is in its first year of existence.
Yes.
The Cavaliers, was it Coach Huffer still? Yeah, yes. He's in his, third or fourth year, does a real good job over there.
Yes, he does.
Talk about the Cavaliers. I know what's the Mothmer. That's kind of their lead stud. But what can you tell me about the Cavaliers, NJ?
You know, very, very athletic, very long, you know, good team. They play well together. Went over and watched them play Miami Trace last Saturday. And, you know, they're the real deal. They can shoot it. They can get to the basket. They defend well.
Well, obviously it's a non-league game. That's a good thing as far as the importance of getting a win tomorrow night. And it will be a tall order. I'm not being negative Nelly, but we're going to face it. This is a big game for Vinton County.
Sure.
Not only in the challenge that they bring, but also the tournament seeding, which will be coming up next Sunday, I think.
This Sunday?
This coming Sunday. I'm sorry. And that's all done electronically now. You don't have the – your dad's retired now, so he doesn't have to put the big shindig on down at Jackson High School. So that's all going to be done. But obviously, if you guys are fortunate enough to pull off a win tomorrow night against Chillicothe, that's really going to have a lot of will help you guys a lot as far as hopefully in the tournament draw as far as Logan sectional. And that's going to be interesting this year. You know, you got Fairfield Union, Sheridan's having a great year.
Really good year.
Warren Local, Coach Maddox got his 300th win this year. Mm-hmm. So the Warriors, you're right there in there. You're kind of in that 3-4, I would guess, right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a toss-up between the four teams. You know, you look at it and every team kind of has their own claim to be in the number one seed.
But also every team in that argument, to play devil's advocate, also has kind of, I don't want to say stupid losses, but...
They've got some blemishes that they wouldn't want.
Like, well, how did you lose that? Yeah.
Sure.
But they also, you know, as you said, that you got impressive wins. Mm-hmm. But also, I know Fairfield Union, they went through a kind of a skid early in the season like you guys, that they lost some games they probably weren't expected to lose.
Right.
Sheridan's always kind of been one of those situations with them playing in that Muskingum Valley League. You know, they don't maybe get the attention, I guess.
Or right.
People don't know as much right. about them.
Yeah, they're always kind of a wild card. You know, obviously they've had some really good teams over the years, but you just never know anything about them until you get in the tournament.
Well, but they've had some good wins this year.
Same for like Warren Local. Now that they're playing in the East Central League, you know, everybody, you know, obviously it's like every year you see Coach Maddox and the Warriors at the convo, but you know, it's not like they're one of these teams in the TVC or, you know, right amongst here, the SVC, right. that you know what's going on all the time. So got that game tomorrow night, like I said, February the 6th. And then senior night, am I correct?
Yes,
senior night coming up this Friday night, February the 9th, against the Nelsonville York Buckeyes with a record of 5-12 overall. One of those five wins happened to be against you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's senior night.
Yes.
I don't think Coach 300 will need to say much prior to the game.
Won't have to say much to motivate the kids, I don't think.
I just don't see that happening. Of course, Coach 300 is probably one of the worst motivational speakers prior to a game.
He will freely admit that motivational speaking is not his.
No, it's just not his forte. Let it rip. What was one? Let it loose.
With a stomp.
With a stomp,
yeah.
Preceded by every kid turning around and laughing.
Yeah, there was last year at Jackson when he gave really one of his best pregame speeches I've ever heard, and then marred it by ending it with, "Come on in, the water's warm."
I heard parts of that. So the whole thing was good, and then he
went one step too far. He should have just stopped talking.
You got to know when to quit.
Yeah.
Always leave them wanting more.
Sales 101. Sometimes the best tactic is to just stop talking and let the buyer make a decision. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't.
No.
Couldn't do it.
No.
Did he get anybody, did anyone have the nerve to ask a question like, what in the world did you just, what did that mean?
No, what tends to happen is, you know, I'm the only coach in there because, you know, Carp and Dolan and
the rest of the inner circle's not there.
They're out there during the JV game. So generally what happens is when he says something like this, I'll start to look around and I'll have kids that are looking at me like wanting to laugh because they know that he's just said something ridiculous.
Now, with the group you had last year, I could see some of them just laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. They
Tristan and Derek come to mind.
Yeah. Tristan, I will say, did a really good job of just keeping a poker face. And then when he was done coming up to me and asking me, what was that?
Okay. So, come on in. The water's warm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where this water is or how
I'm
it got
just trying
so warm,
to think but. Of the I'm water, warm basketball.
I don't know.
Huh.
He once said to the team, if you he's famous for messing up, you know, common expressions. He told the team a couple years ago that if you want to hang with the big dogs, you've got to get on the porch. Which I think it's if you want to run with the big dogs, you've got to get off the porch.
Yeah.
But
whatever. I mean,
yeah, I mean, great intentions.
Okay. So, well, okay. What other I'm trying to think of anything else that we need to. Is Coach 300 going to get the court named after him? Or
it's not already?
I mean, it should be.
I think. Do you guys still you carry a lot of Sharpies, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have the kids do that today at practice.
I would rather do it. I think we should do it Tuesday. I mean, because Friday night's senior night, so it should be about the seniors. But Tuesday night, we should just name the court after Coach 300.
Is there any way we can change that the picture of the county at half court to just picture a Combs' face?
I've never thought about that, but that's a great idea. I'm sure that attendance would skyrocket.
Oh.
People could just come in there and marvel at that beautiful mug.
Or walk across it.
Or run and stomp.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of had a thought that maybe they would just like rebuild the auditorium, call it the Combs Dome.
Ooh,
I like it.
But, from an architectural standpoint, not just your basic block square building, they could build the building like a size of his head, you know, like a,
mm-hmm.
So it looks like him from the outside.
That's not bad.
I think we're on to something.
I think three things. Name the court, change the county to Combs' face, knock down the auditorium, build a new exterior that people could see for miles as they come into the fine, fine village of MacArthur and call it the Combs Dome. It's
make
right
it
up
happen.
You know, probably that's why he didn't want to work today or come in to do the podcast. He's probably meeting with Superintendent Rick Brooks right now.
That may have been his car in the parking lot when I left.
Oh, really?
It might be.
Well, you know, he stepped up. He's driving a luxury sedan now.
Yes. With conditioned air.
Because that's conditioned air.
Yes.
And I'm taking it also can actually receive like Sirius XM radio. Not that Combs would ever spend money on that. But
no, I mean, he's enjoying the first 12 free months of it.
I think that's, hasn't that ran its course?
I believe it has.
Oh.
Yeah. And this has its own hubcaps.
Yes.
Factory.
Now, factory. They haven't fallen off
yet. We once went someplace and Combs, Travis Hale was following behind. And when we got stopped, Travis said, hey, Combs, you've got something hanging up underneath your car there.
It's his bungee cord.
No.
No.
And he said, Combs gets up underneath there and he goes, I think it's a belt. And Travis goes, yeah, that makes sense. That's probably what it is. And Combs said, do you think that's for anything? I said, no, man. I said, they just shove a bunch of those extra belts up there sometimes just in case you ever need them.
You've always been the consummate smartass, haven't you?
Yeah, I do my best.
No, you're good at it. Best. I'll give you that. Sprout.
Yeah.
He walked right into it.
I did.
I can't let it. You know.
If the shoe fits.
Guys, I appreciate you coming in and not have to take a commercial break. It's refreshing to work with truly humble professionals like you.
Yeah.
We do our best.
And I honestly didn't think we could fit Coach 300's head into this little room.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough enough to get it in the gym for practice. So.
Well, yeah, but he is our Coach 300, and we do love him. Sometimes.
I think we're going to wear sashes tomorrow.
I think there ought to be like a candlelight vigil ceremony, you know, sashes, robes.
We do, you know, take care of the wardrobes for the game. So we're going to go with, I believe, sashes and a tiara for him.
Okay. I was thinking about not going to the game, but I might have to show up.
You should probably show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now you guys still are, he does let you still do the whole fashion crap.
Oh yeah. Yeah, now he's put restrictions on it over the years. He's limited us to
ties.
How many times we can wear ties.
Five nights.
Because he claims he makes faces when he wears a tie.
He has a tick when he wears a tie. None other time.
Oh, he makes faces all the time.
Oh, no. No, it's only when he, it's only when he wears a tie.
Only when he wears a tie.
Whatever. I think you got to have some more fun with that, the wardrobe. I mean, if you don't have to do ties. I think you should do themes. I think you should do like a cowboy theme, like a Western, country Western.
I saw staff do a Hawaiian theme one night.
I think it would be good for morale. I think the fans would love it. The kids would enjoy it. It's all about them. Quit making it about the coach. I mean, seriously, I mean, you could do, you know, a 70s look, leisure suits, you know.
I'm on board.
Country
I'd
Western.
I'd try to track one of those down.
I'd say your dad might have one. Probably not.
I think Dad's been wearing the same stuff since...
Benny's got one.
Since the 50s.
What about Bruce Cakes? He may have one laying around.
I bet he does. He might. The voice of the garden, Bruce Knox.
Voice of the garden.
Or he's executive management with us. So, no, be good to... Guys, seriously, I appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
For Coach NJ Kite and Coach Chad Carpenter, Carl Knox saying thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.